podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone. Hope we're all doing all right. Welcome to another video from Fantasy Football Scout. I haven't done too much World Cup content. It's been a bit of a busy week. This week, obviously, been doing the fan team videos with Josh. We had Jenny and Andy do one of the FIFA games as well. And we've got sort of more coverage going on as we go. But I thought I'd just put this video together just to give a few of my thoughts ahead of the World Cup. There's a number of different games that I'm playing. So I'll talk through some of those. I'll talk through my different teams, my predictions, and some of the players you might want to be considering for the various games, fantasy games that you might be doing as well. Excuse the hoodie. I mean, it's winter now, so I feel like every video I'm going to be in this hoodie. It's really warm and comfortable. Probably to buy a few different colours so it doesn't look like I'm wearing the same one over and over again, which I probably am. But yeah, it is cold and I can't afford to put the heating on. So, you know, this is me. Before we get into it, let's just talk about our sponsor for this video, which is the Football Club. You might have seen the video that I did the other day, just outlining what this is and what this game is. It's a really cool kind of new thing that's kind of come into the space. Essentially, what the Football Club have done here is create a game for the World Cup, which is completely free to enter. It's got a $50,000 prize pool and a $250,000 sort of main prize pool if you're willing to enter into some of the more advanced options. But the $50,000 prize pool is completely free to play. Essentially, all you do is you enter a team, a fantasy team. These players all score points. It's based on over 100 different metrics. So, you know, you were talking defensive midfielders get rewarded for pass, tackles, interceptions, all that kind of stuff. To my knowledge, I can't see another fantasy game that rewards those kind of actions quite like the Football Club does. So that gives it a kind of a bit of a niche status. And in these match days, you essentially have to progress through the match days, being in kind of the top percentile of players. And the further you get into tournament, the better prizes you win. These can be real rewards like match day tickets to Bundesliga games, or it can be sort of digital collectible things to kit out your avatar and club kind of as you go forward. There's also a single match entries as well, where you can win like loads of cool stuff. So do check out the Football Club. There's links in the description below to Android and Apple devices, and I'll be talking through my team selection for match day one as part of this video. So if you haven't already, do check out the Fantasy Football Scout tournament predictor. So there's a £500 prize for the person who kind of does best in this. Essentially, what I've put together with Will and Rob is a spreadsheet which automatically calculates all the group stages and who's going to progress and advance. And it's just quite a fun way of seeing, you know, who's going to do well and who isn't. You all can also like predict the top goal scorer, golden boot winner, the golden boy, the best player of the tournament as well, and the most team goals, all this kind of stuff. So if you're looking for something big to put on your wall, print off in massive things, then something like this. So Fantasy Football Scout members can get this and be entered into the prize draw. So I thought I'd just use this as a way of just going through kind of my predictions for the World Cup. Always fun to do these videos. I'm sure nothing I say in this video will come back to bite me as we go on, but I'll just go through the groups quickly and kind of my predictions. So I think Group A should be relatively straightforward for the Netherlands. They've got a good team, you know, players like Frenkie de Jong of Barcelona. This Gakpo guy looks really exciting. Don't know too much about him, but he's got 27 goals, I think, for PSV so far this season. Looks like he's going to be fighting out for, you know, playing up front. You know, they've got Bergwijn there, they've got Depay, but could this be a bit of a breakthrough tournament? And for him, he's very young. I think he's 23 years old. And, you know, I'm always looking at these kind of 23-year-old players in World Cups because you always think there's going to be one, like another James Rodriguez or someone who's just going to burst through. And I wonder if it could be Gakpo in this one. I've also got my own Leao as well, the Portuguese winger playing for AC Milan. It's West Ham then, they wish. Playing for AC Milan, having a really strong season for them. I wonder if we're going to see a bit of a breakthrough for him. And of course, Mbappe. I mean, Mbappe is only, what, 23, 24 years old. So could this be the tournament where he really puts his kind of name amongst the real elite? I mean, he's already won the World Cup. He's already, you know, smashing in goals for club and country. But I wonder if this tournament could be where we see him take even the next level, move up to Ronaldo and Messi status. It could be really interesting. Elsewhere in Group A, I think it's going to be really close between the other three teams. I think, you know, this first match, Qatar versus Ecuador, is going to basically decide who comes second. I think Senegal without Mane is an absolute huge blow for them. I'm not expecting them to qualify. So I think it's going to be between Qatar and Ecuador. I've gone for Qatar because I think just the home edge we'll just give them that little bit more. This Afif guy, who I've got in one of my teams, I'll show you in a bit. He's the kind of the biggest spark in the Qatar team. He's on all the set pieces. So he's quite cheap on all these fantasy games. The trouble is on the FIFA game, and I think Sky, he's forward, but he plays on the wing. I think it's just on fan team. But he's playing, you know, kind of in, well, he's classified as a midfielder. So there's not really too many options in Qatar. I mean, Ecuador have got a Stupinian as well, who's obviously very attacking. They'll probably keep it quite tight. So if you're backing Ecuador to go through, I think you go for him. But really, I think this group is all dominated by Netherlands. So I won't go too much more. Group B, it's a really, really favourable group for England. So we obviously should do well. I've got us down to win it. You know, 7 points, USA coming second. That means Iran and Wales are out. I think, you know, England, USA and Iran were all quite good defensively. I'm not expecting there to be huge amounts of goals across these games. I think if you're looking at defenders, I think, you know, particularly USA and Iran are very, very cheap. So we've got some good options there. I just think Trippier for me is kind of a, I think he's in all the teams I'm going to show in this video. So with set pieces, with the way we set up with the group, he's just an absolutely fantastic option. And he's got all the form coming into the tournament as well. We scored that goal for us in the semi-finals. I think he's just the perfect defender, really. And I think, you know, if he's coming in around 7 million or whatever he is on different formats, he was one of the first names that I picked. I like Luke Shaw as well. You know, we haven't really got too much competition at left back now. We could move Trippier over to left back or something. Maybe Walker comes in or we play Trent at right back. So Shaw's a little bit sort of less secure of starts, but still a good option, I think, particularly for the groups. And, you know, I don't think Walker's fully fit yet. And I'm not expecting crazy things to happen until maybe a bit later on when Southgate has his way. So I think an England defender is really good. And I think Trippier's the one to get. For the USA, you're probably looking at Pulisic. For Iran, you're probably looking at the defenders. And then for Wales, obviously, it's Gareth Bale. But, I mean, I've only got them to score 2 goals, I think, in the whole tournament. One against the USA and then one against us. So, yeah, I'm not expecting big, huge things from Wales. I think, you know, this is Bale's kind of swan song, isn't it? He's declared himself fit, but the rest of that Wales squad looks pretty weak. So, yeah, I've got them to finish bottom of this group. Interesting group next, the Argentinian group. Spoiler, I've got Argentina to go all the way to the final. It's a really good group for them, I think. I think Mexico and Poland are two kind of tricky-ish sides. Mexico, in particular, they've done really well in group stages. This is the fourth World Cup they've qualified for in a row, and it's the fourth time, four times in a row, they've got to the last 16 as well. So they'll be really, really expectant to go forward. Argentina have got such a strong team this year, so I think they'll win the group quite comfortably. Saudi Arabia, I think, unfortunately, could be the whipping boys in the whole tournament. And then you've got Mexico and Poland battling out, and, you know, they're playing in the first game together, and I've got that down as a draw. So I've got Mexico to kind of squeeze through, but I think if one of those teams wins that match, then that's going to be it, and they're going to go through, because you'd expect both of those teams to beat Saudi Arabia as well. So really interesting. Obviously, Poland got Lewandowski, which gives them a big edge. They've got Matty Cash as well in defence, who I only found out they had today. I don't know how I've missed that. But Mexico have got good experience in the side. They've got my favourite goalkeeper ever, who plays in a kind of a non-top league and hasn't ever really played for a top side. Always gets called up for Mexico and always does really well. So I'm excited to kind of see him. And I think the Mexico have got a good kind of squad and a good structure around them at the moment, quite defensive first. I think that's quite important in this kind of tournament. So it'd be interesting to see who goes through out of those. I've got it for Mexico currently, but obviously Poland have got the players that can kind of disrupt that. Group D, France and Denmark. I can't see any way in which Australia or Tunisia can kind of usurp those two. Obviously, France are missing Pogba and Kante, which has massively harmed them. But you could argue Kante isn't really the player that he was anyway. Pogba does well on the international stage. I think he will be quite a big miss for them. But they've got other players, obviously, that can come in and fill the gaps. You know, they won the last World Cup. They've got Benzema, they've got Mbappe. They've even got players like Griezmann who'll be eager to kind of impress after having a bit of a stop-start season for Atletico. So you've got to make France kind of the favourite for this. Denmark as well, I mean, what a story. Eriksen coming back. Players like Mæhle, who was so good in the Euros, you know, when they went right the way down to the semis. Obviously, a great team spirit there. They'll be confident to qualify for this group. I mean, Australia are actually one of the informed teams coming into this tournament. I think they've won their last 5 matches or something. But, you know, I'm looking at their squad and not seeing too many sort of routes in which they're going to get goals. And I think France and Denmark are just going to be too strong for them and Tunisia. Group E, what a group this is. Germany and Spain, both in the group. I mean, Costa Rica, a decent side. Really, really good defensively as well. Japan have got good players. I mean, Matoma, my Brighton boy, plays them as well. But it would be a real shock if Germany and Spain didn't qualify from this group. I think the interesting point, who's going to win it? I think it's really, really close. I've actually got Germany to win the group because they scored one more goal than Spain in this. And actually the routes in which these players take, depending on what happens in this group, is really, really interesting. I'll show you in a minute, but I've got Germany getting knocked out to Brazil, for example, where Spain end up going quite far, a bit further into the tournament. So a bit like England when we played and we kind of wanted to lose that last game against Belgium a few years ago so we could get a better group, a better run to the final, sorry. I think, you know, actually, if my other predictions hold true, I think the team that comes second this might take it a bit more, but obviously it's difficult to call. Group F, you've got Belgium, the favourites in this. I think this is a really, really good group for Belgium. I think if you're looking at fantasy players to consider, I think particularly defensively, I just cannot see Canada or Croatia troubling Belgium too much in this group. Canada are quite an exciting team coming into this tournament, lots of young players, but haven't got the experience at this kind of level before. Belgium have got a lot of experienced players at this stage. Croatia don't have a striker. Mandzukic isn't around anymore. They've been trying a few different systems, but nothing's really been working. They're again one of these kind of defensively sound teams, but I'm not expecting them to score too many goals. Morocco is an interesting one because I think Morocco do have exciting players. They've obviously got Ziyech, they've got Boufal as well, they've got Hakimi, so they've got players that can hurt, but again, they're not one of the favourites going into this. They're, you know, they're quite low ranked, so, you know, players like Boufal, we've seen him playing for Southampton, we know how kind of inconsistent he'd be, we know how inconsistent Ziyech can be as well, so it could be that Morocco, these players come in and really perform and light it up, and maybe I'm giving them a bit of discredit here. I've got them no points at all, which I think is quite harsh, but I just think with Croatia, with the defence, and with Canada, with this kind of spark that they've got with some of these young players, it'd be really interesting to see. I mean, Canada are interesting because if Afonso Davies is injured and misses out, that is a huge blow for them. And again, he plays at number 10 for Canada in quite a few of these matches. So yeah, really, really interesting group. I think Belgium obviously favourites to win, but Canada, Croatia, and Morocco with completely different styles and different routes to try and get that second place. But yeah, going to be really interesting to see what happens in that. Group G, this is Brazil's group to win, surely. Expecting them to win all three of their matches. Serbia and Switzerland, good teams. I mean, Serbia have got Mitrovic, you know what he can do, great system team. They can get the ball to him. I'm expecting them to, you know, to win their matches other than Brazil. Switzerland have been really, really good defensively in previous tournaments. Got Xhaka there in kind of the form of his life. As well, they are not going to be any pushovers in this, and Cameroon, unfortunately, I've also got them to get no points in this. I think this is a really, really tough group for Cameroon because, you know, Switzerland have been in these tournaments before against Brazil, and Serbia with Mitrovic as well. So there's a lot of pressure on players like Choupo-Moting up top for Cameroon, who scored today. You know, one of the best agents in football. But yeah, I'm not expecting too much from Cameroon. Sorry to Samuel Eto'o, who I think has got Cameroon to get to the final or even win it. I think he might be a little bit biased though. And then finally, Group H. Again, I mean, they're all interesting groups. I just love the World Cup because of groups like this. I mean, Uruguay, Portugal, you'd expect them to win it quite comfortably. I think Uruguay have got the chaos personified in Darwin Nunez up top. It'd be really interesting to know what kind of tournament he has off the back of a bit of a mixed start to his Liverpool kind of career. Portugal have got all the cloud around Ronaldo. Are the players happy? Are they all annoyed with him? Fernandes and him, are they getting on? Cancelo looked like he was a bit annoyed with it. It's very, very strange atmosphere. And especially if Ronaldo doesn't even start one of these first two games, he's going to throw his toys out the pram again. It's going to be really interesting. So I've got Portugal to go through. Ghana are the lowest ranked team in the tournament. I've got them to do quite well in the group stages. I think Portugal, there's a shock result around here somewhere. I think Ghana could spring a surprise and get a draw against Portugal kind of in that first game. And then I think it probably comes down to what happens in that Korea game to give Ghana any kind of shout. But you would think that Portugal are going to qualify from this group. How far they can get into the tournament, I'm not exactly too sure about. But yeah, really interesting to see how Ghana get on, because they shouldn't really be pushing up too many trees. But I can see something happening in this group. You know, with Uruguay, with Nunes, I know they've got a good side, but Nunes is inconsistent with Portugal, like I mentioned. And then with South Korea, with Son, not even sure if he's going to be able to play yeah, we'll kind of see what happens in that. I'll skip through these fairly quickly. These are my round 16 predictions. I've got the Netherlands to go through and Argentina, Germany and Brazil, England, France would be playing Qatar in the last 16, which would be a good draw for us, and Spain, Uruguay. I think that's probably some of the favourites. You can see here, though, Germany goes straight into this game against Brazil, whereas Spain are playing Uruguay. I'd rather be playing Uruguay than Brazil, for example, if my predictions come true. So maybe it's better to come second for Spain. In the quarters, I've got Argentina to beat the Netherlands. I've got Brazil to beat Germany. I've got us to lose to France. I see a lot of these prediction sheets. I can see a lot of people going for France to win on penalties in a kind of a similar matchup, which, yeah, wouldn't surprise me at all. And then I've got Spain to beat Uruguay. I think this is, again, a really interesting game. I can see Uruguay going sort of quite far into this tournament if they click quite early on. But Spain have got a very good squad. I mean, with, you know, with Pedri, with Rodri there, with Laporte, you know, they've got a really strong spine to that side. So yeah, I've got Spain to kind of win some of these. Belgium going out quite early though. I mean, a last 16 exit for Belgium would be devastating for Martinez and those players. The video with the king of Belgium coming out and meeting the players is absolutely fantastic. But I'm just not sure about Belgium going forward. They've got all this talent, but don't seem to quite know how to unlock them all. Whereas I think Spain would be a really tough draw in that game because they look very solid at the moment. And then in the semis, Argentina-Brazil, what a semi that would be. I've got Argentina to nick it, 3-2, Messi versus Neymar, be absolutely incredible, that match. And then in Europe, France versus Spain. So that gives us a France and Argentina final. What a final that would be. I've got Argentina to win it, Brazil to get third place by beating Spain, Mbappe to win the Golden Boot, and Lionel Messi to be player of the tournament and to finally confirm to everyone that he is the undisputed GOAT of football ever. So yeah, in my predictions, let me know what you think of those. Let me rattle through some of my teams I've got going into this tournament. So we'll start with the football club, the one that I mentioned earlier. Again, links in the description below. And what is really interesting with the football club is you can only select one player per team. So this is a bit of a kind of a challenge in building it. There is the scores at the bottom is what's called the score cap, which works exactly the same as just regular kind of value. I was way over the score cap when I first put it together because you kind of try and put all the talisman in. But I think I've come to quite a relatively strong team. Sosa, again, like he's in quite a few of these games, is the kind of guy who makes all this happen with a lower score cap, and same with Cash as well. I've got Alisson in goal, so I'm ignoring all of the Brazilian attacking talent to have Alisson in goal. Dumfries and Trippier, De Bruyne, Fernandes, Eriksen, and Bale, and then Benzema and Messi. Remember, this team is rewarded through kind of all the different actions that these players do in the game. So that really boosts players like Eriksen and Fernandes and De Bruyne, who obviously are very heavily involved in the attacks, but also do a lot of the work in midfield as well. So give this a go. It's really interesting trying to build a team with just one player from each international team. You find that you're missing some players. I haven't got any Uruguay players, but I haven't got Nunes because the score cap was just kind of too high. But yeah, give this a go and give it a try. That's the team I put together. For the FIFA team, which is obviously the main one, I know it's had its problems. I know people are still confused by a lot of the rules. But this is the team I put together. It's Courtois in goal. It's Trippier, Mailer and Dumfries. It's Trossard at 5.5 million. Come on, that is so cheap. It's Ziyech, it's Di Maria, it's Sané, it's Mbappe, it's Messi and it's Neymar. So I've got Ziyech in there because I think the Moroccan team is really interesting. I think it could kind of go either way. Sosa's really cheap as well, again, in this 3.5. There's a couple of quite cheap players around here. But I think I've covered quite a lot of kind of the main guys. I mean, it's hard with this game because so many of the players are classified as forwards. You know, trying to find the kind of real gems in midfield. I mean, De Bruyne is the most obvious midfielder to go for. But a lot of the kind of attackers or, you know, players like Rafinha are classified as forward. So it's quite hard to find. But I think with these four, we've got kind of a lot of the key men for their side. I wanted Gnabry over Sané, but Gnabry's a forward in it. So I've gone for Sané. Trossard really does allow this kind of stuff to happen, though, especially with the front three, Mbappe, Messi and Neymar. And then in defence, I've gone for three attacking defenders. I mean, it looks quite similar to how it did for the Euros. Dumfries coming back in, Mailer there, and Trippier. I think Trippier at 5 million is an absolute bargain in the UEFA game, especially when Dumfries is 6 million as well. And then I've had a bit of extra money, so I went for Courtois too. So that's the team There looks like I'll be wildcarding fairly early into game week two, and then trying to catch some of these in the group games, hopefully where all the goals are. So got to get those captains right. Make sure you read up on the rules. Make sure you know when you can and can't change your captains as well. Have a look on Fantasy Football Scout. We'll be posting tips and strategies across that. Sky, if you haven't signed up to Sky yet, make sure you do. There's a £10,000 prize for this, and it's completely free to join. Team's completely different here because obviously the price are different. I've got Roche in goal. I've got double England defence with Sean Trippier and Meunier, who's a really, really attacking Belgium fullback, similar to kind of Dumfries in midfield. I've got Ziyech, De Bruyne, Rafinha and Gnabry in this is a midfielder, so is Rafinha, so that made it a bit easier. And then up front, I've gone for the chaos man, Nunez, Messi and Mbappe. Ziyech in two of my sides, I'm giving them no points in the predictions. So something's got to give. It's good to kind of hedge your bets a little bit across some of these. But yeah, I think the double England defence, I'm not expecting to concede many goals. We conceded so few goals in the last tournament. You know, we know what Southgate's like. Roche is interesting. We think he's going to be first choice for Uruguay. There is a chance that he misses out, but he has started, I think, the last three or four games in goal. So it's pretty likely he's going to keep his place. And he's quite a good price across quite a few of these fantasy games. So give him a look if you're looking for a decent goalkeeper. And finally, Fan Team, which is really cool and a different kind of format to some of the others, because you've got this thing called the safety net, which means you only pick 11 players, you don't have any subs. And it means that if your player misses out, you get kind of another player coming in his place. So you can see I've got Okoye there, I've got Trippier, I've got Hakimi, I've got Meunier. At fifth, this is my Qatarian guy I was talking about, who's a mid on this. Trossard, Messi, Rafinha, Bale, Mbappe and Nunez. So the good thing about going for someone like Trossard or Rafinha in this is if they don't play, because obviously Trossard's got competition with Hazard, Rafinha's got competition with about 10 different players that can play on that side. If they don't start, I'll get another player sort of coming in. So if Trossard doesn't start, I think I'll either get Carrasco, Hazard or Tielemans, depending on who plays. If Rafinha doesn't start, there's a whole list of players. I get Martinelli, Jesus, Paqueta, Anthony, all these guys. So you're going to basically guarantee yourself at least one attacker kind of in those matches. And that's a really kind of nice feature, I think, of Fan Team. Up front, yeah, I'm happy to have Nunez in this. Players are rewarded for things like shots. There isn't a whole really complicated sort of bonus system, but shots on target are rewarded with extra points. So you want players in who shoot a lot. I don't think you get more shots than with someone like Bale, Mbappe, Nunez. And then you've got obviously a fifth carrying the nation's hopes on his shoulders. So this is the team that I've gone for. My goalkeeper could change. It could be another Polish goalkeeper. It could be a Polish goalkeeper, sorry. It could be the Uruguayan goalkeeper. I haven't quite decided. With Fan Team as well, you can either enter the single entry, which costs £5, or there's a multi-entry where you can enter up to 25 teams. So you can enter 10 of the same teams, but change your captain or change one player and all of that. Of course, if you are entering in any tournament where there's money stakes involved, do gamble aware, gamble responsibly, 18 plus. And if you're interested in learning a bit more about Fan Team, check out some of the Fan Team videos that I've been doing with Josh on the channel. I think that's it from me then. Good luck with all your fantasy football World Cup shenanigans. Hope you enjoy the World Cup. I know it's a bit of a strange one. You know, it's interrupted our Premier League season. There's a lot of issues with human rights violations and obviously people rightly worried about that. I feel very mixed about it, but I do enjoy the World Cup and I do enjoy watching football. So I'm going to enjoy it as best I can. I hope you can all do the same. And I'll be back for another video very soon. Take it easy.